Call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:33 on Monday, March 14, 2022. Before we begin, I want to thank Shannon McCain, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Talia Ames from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Snyder, my vice chair, myself, Representative Clayman. I don't see Representative Kreitz Tompkins on the phone. We don't have a quorum to conduct business, but we don't need a quorum to conduct business. So our first order of business today is House Bill 17, Discrimination, Gender Identity, Sexual Orientation, sponsored by Representative Josephson. This is the second hearing of the bill in the House Judiciary Committee. We're going to open public testimony on this bill. It's the sole purpose that we are hearing the bill today is to hear public testimony, and as is our practice, we're going to limit public testimony to 2 minutes per person. So we're going to open public testimony. If you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone, as the sound quality is not as clear and it is often difficult to hear what you're saying. If there is anyone in the room, is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify? If you would please come forward. I recognize that Representative Drummond joined us at 1:35. Please state your name for the record. And obviously you're here in Juneau, so you don't need to tell us that. But state your name for the record and please proceed.
Good morning or afternoon, members of the committee. My name's Noah Williams. I am, as you stated, from Juneau. And I'm here today to testify in favor of House Bill 17. I have witnessed the harm firsthand of gender and sex-based hatred. I've been the emergency contact called in crisis by queer, trans, and gender nonconforming friends thinking of harming themselves. And, of course, you can't legislate that out of existence, but you can unload some of the economic impacts of such hatred by making discrimination against people in those groups illegal. And you can, of course, make members of the LGBTQ community feel supported with your official backing. So this act affirms that gender and sex-based hatred is not acceptable. Such views are not the majority opinion. And it also signals that such cynical attempts to build political capital by crushing the queer community, as Senate Bill 140 are, will inevitably backfire. I particularly appreciate the full recognition of gender identity as its own unique pillar. Much case law relies on a reversible precedent that couples sex and gender, and as we know, gender is a social construct, and both gender and sex are a spectrum. So putting it into statute that you cannot discriminate against me based on who I am or how I'm built is spot on. That is justice. So thank you to the sponsors of the bill, and thank you to the committee for your time today.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to provide public testimony? And I will check again for public testimony in the room, but I have several people online. And so we're going to start. I'll start. It's a little unclear. Is Queen Parker online?
Yes, I'm online.
Okay. If you want to identify yourself for the record, you can state where you're calling from, and you can proceed with your testimony.
Yes, my name is Queen Alita Parker, and I live in Sterling. And I'm just calling because I am against HB 17, HB 130. I don't think that you should punish individuals and businesses when they say, like, a biological man cannot sleep in an abused women's shelter. I think and that's come against that person should be there. That is pathetic. And so, to me, a man is a man and a woman's a woman. And if you call that discrimination, that's just, that's not what God intended. And so, that's my take on it. HB 17, HB 130, I'm totally against these bills. And so thank you for hearing my opinion.
Thank you very much. I want to note that Representative Kreitz Tompkins joined us by teleconference at 1:38. For those that don't know, Representative Kreitz Tompkins had an injury that they're urging him to keep his leg up, and so we're letting him, when he doesn't have to be in the committee, attend by teleconference. Next, I've got Jessica Rosado.
Hi, this is Jessica calling in from the Denali Borough. I have no affiliation. I wanted to say that I am a 40-year-old woman who is calling in to express my deep support of this proposed bill, HB 17. I personally did not know my own queerness until my late 20s, when I was pleasantly surprised to fall in love with another person of the same sex. And even at that age, I found so much beautiful support from my family, friends, and community. I read this bill yesterday, and I thank you all for sponsoring it. This bill creates an opportunity to be proactive and protective in an increasingly challenging time for the state and more's LGBTQ citizens whose fairly newly achieved human rights have never stopped being challenged. This tremendous state deeply values individual freedom and privacy, perhaps more than any other. And with that, and people in mind, including my non-binary partner and myself, I urge our elected officials in the 49th state to ensure that this includes the greater, the great and growing Alaskan LGBTQ community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Casey Kessort. Ms. Kessort, if you could identify yourself and state your name for the record and where you're calling from, you can proceed.
Hi, my name is Casey Kessort, and I'm calling today in my personal capacity as a Fairbanks resident. I'm calling in my enthusiastic support for HB 17, and I would be overjoyed to see it finally pass this year. I believe I first started following this bill when I was 14 and going to high school at West Valley in Fairbanks. I printed out the bill language, and I highlighted all the ways that LGBTQ plus people would be protected if the bill passed. On the other hand, highlighting it made me realize all the ways that me and my peers were vulnerable to discrimination in housing and employment, banking and public services. And for the first time, I emailed my representatives urging them to pass the bill. I'm 23 now. It's been almost a decade, and this bill is still being debated, which means my basic human rights are being debated and then denied when the bill fails to pass. I'd love to see this bill at least go to a vote on the House floor this year, because how legislators vote would certainly impact how I and my peers will vote in the fall. The other thing that frustrates me is how every year we come to these hearings and share our most terrifying moments of experiencing discrimination, then nothing does change to prevent it from happening to someone else. So instead, today I'd like to share some queer joy with you, and I invite all the other testifiers to do the same. Queer joy is going to my first drag show when I was 18, and sitting in the audience amongst so many queer people, I felt like I was seeing a possible future for myself that I had never imagined. Queer joy is coming home to Fairbanks and finding incredible drag performers right here at home. Queer joy is community, like at the virtual Queer Craft Night last week, where we went around the room sharing the best things that had happened to us so far this year. And queer joy is personal, like coming out to my little sister for the first time. Queer joy is abundant, and there's room for everyone to experience it. With that, I'll say thank you for hearing this bill. I really hope it finally passes this year, and I appreciate you all for making it a priority. And I really appreciate all of you in the room for hearing our testimony today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Karen Baker. Ms. Baker, if you want to identify yourself with your first and last name and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, hi. My name is Karen Baker. I use she, her, and they, them pronouns, and I'm calling today from the unceded Dena'ina lands, also known as Anchorage, and I'm representing myself. I'm calling today to express my strong support of HB 17. Alaska is in overdue and dire need of statewide protections for the LGBTQ plus members of our community. As I'm sure you are aware, it is currently legal in all but a few communities in Alaska, or it is currently legal in all but a few communities in Alaska to discriminate in housing and employment based on a person's gender identity or sexual orientation. This means that Alaskans can be evicted in the middle of winter or fired during a pandemic for no other reason than who they are or whom they love. Before moving to Anchorage a bit over 2 years ago, I lived in Fairbanks for 10 years. I was a part of working to pass an anti-discrimination ordinance in Fairbanks. I watched as a very vocal minority came out and called my friends and families all sorts of horrible names and accused them of all sorts of monstrous acts. I saw the bravery of my LGBTQ plus neighbors as they spoke their truths and risked their homes and livelihoods to build a better Fairbanks. I saw the joy in our community when the ordinance passed, and I saw the devastation and sadness when the city mayor, Jim Matherly, vetoed it just a few days later. LGBTQ plus Alaskans deserve to have the same ability to be safe and secure and thrive in Alaska just as much as anyone else. And their ability to do so shouldn't be subject to the whims of whomever happens to be the mayor or where in Alaska they happen to live. We need statewide protections for our LGBTQ plus community. On Saturday, there was a hearing in the Senate Education Committee on an anti-trans bill, and nearly 100 people turned out in opposition to it. Alaskans care about our LGBTQ plus neighbors. I'm tired of this bill being brought forward every year just to stall in committee. Alaska wants and needs this legislation. Please advance HB 17 and work to get it passed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I would note that at 1:44 p.m., Representative Eastman joined us. Next in the queue is Ellen Weiser. Ms. Weiser, if you want to identify yourself for the record, and you can proceed.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, good. My name is Ellen Weiser. I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska. And I'm not queer, I'm not gay, but I am a citizen of this United States, and I have been a teacher for so long that I recognize the impact of discrimination, not only on those that are discriminated against, but on those that are being taught to discriminate. And I fear for our youth that are growing up in a country where these bills even have to be debated, where the very nature of being who you are is called into question. I want to remind you that those children that we are teaching now to discriminate and those children who are discriminated against will grow up inevitably and become the very people who govern this country. They might very well be sitting in your seat. And if we teach them discrimination against the LGBTQ community at this point, who knows what the discrimination will look like in the future? Discrimination of any size and shape is dangerous. It is as dangerous for the people that are being taught to discriminate as those that are being discriminated against. In that case, I urge you most strongly to please, one, pass this bill and let's move on to other things that will impact our future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Amy Bender. Ms. Bender, if you want to identify yourself for the record, you can proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Amy Bender, and I live in Anchorage, Alaska, and I fully support HB 17. This is really about personal liberty and equality. We should all have the right to freely live without fear and discrimination, no matter what our sexual preferences or identity is. Nearly two-thirds of LGBTQ Americans report having experienced discrimination in their everyday lives. As a nurse practitioner in this community, I work and care for patients who identify as LGBTQ every day, and I'm constantly angered by the reports of discrimination they have faced in their lives. Everyone should have a fair chance to earn a living and provide a home for their families without fear of harassment or discrimination. There is broad bipartisan support for this legislation. About 70% of Americans across our country supporting similar equality bills. For these reasons and for so many more, I'm urging you to support and pass HB 17 so our LGBTQ neighbors, friends, family, and coworkers can live free from discrimination. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Crystal Barwick. Ms. Barwick, if you want to identify yourself for the record, you can proceed with your testimony.
Hello, my name is Crystal Berwick, and I am calling in favor of HB 17. Quite frankly, I really think the educator from Fairbanks two speakers back really nailed it as far as trying to get past these identity politics that people only seem to care about when they can use it to discriminate against people with. There are greater issues than what my gender was assigned at birth, and if it doesn't matter what gender I was assigned at birth, if you're not allowed to discriminate based off sex, then what does it matter what I was assigned at birth. And I thank everybody who is supporting this, and hope people like Eastman listen. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Brenda Hasty. Ms. Hasty, if you want to identify yourself for the record, you can proceed.
Hello, my name is Brenda Hasty. I'm calling from Anchorage. I represent myself. I'm a native born lifelong Alaskan female. I'm new to paying attention to subject matters before our elected legislators and speaking out. In understanding HB 17, I'm pressed to remind you that this nation was founded under God. And according to a historical document we know as the Bible, we are told of the destruction that was brought to societies that chose to support perversion of gender and sex. Both this nation and this state are pushing the limits, getting closer and closer to the point where in the past, societies that adopted the values that this bill encourages were destroyed by adding or changing laws that permit, require, and or punish people or organizations to provide services or special accommodations to biological males with a preference to be a woman is wrong. And I urge you to protect Alaskan biological women and preserve our rights first by opposing this bill. Thank you for listening to me today.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, I have David Clark. Mr. Clark, if you want to identify yourself for the record, you can proceed with your testimony.
All right. Hello. My name is David Clark. I'm calling in from Deviacuk, or unceded Dene Inuit lands, traditionally known as Anchorage, Senate District I, House District 17. I'm calling in my capacity as the Gender Justice and Policy Communications Manager at Native Movements. Native Movement urges strong action on this bill because justice should be made available to two-spirit LGBTQ Alaskans, especially in employment and housing. And it is not acceptable that only four local governments throughout the state have taking initiative to codify non-discrimination protections against two-spirit and LGBTQ Alaskans in their local laws. Our laws should uphold the safety and dignity of all Alaskans and not legalize discrimination and protect perpetrators based on their personal and religious claims. Two-spirit LGBTQ Alaskans, your constituents deserve more out of living in the state. Please pass HB 17 and join us in our work. And join Native Movement in our work of creating just and sustainable communities where we are all valued equally under the eyes of the law. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we get to the next, I want to note that Representative Kirka joined us at 1:50 p.m. Next in the queue is Arlie Hitchcock. Ms. Hitchcock, if you want to identify yourself, you can please proceed.
Hi, yes, my name is Arlie Hitchcock. My pronouns are they, them, and I'm calling in today from Lower Town, Naylands and Fairbanks on behalf of myself. I am speaking today in favor of HB 17 with the attacks against trans people and other LGBTQ people across the country right now and in the state of Alaska with SB 140. This bill is very necessary to protect Alaskans right now. I was going to speak on the discrimination that I have experienced as an out trans person in Alaska, but I am instead going to follow Casey's call to share some queer joy. Queer joy is my friends having a queer text thread to support one another when testifying against anti-trans bills and checking in with one another. Queer joy is being gendered correctly at work and in my community. Queer joy is feeling safe in my home. Queer joy is watching my friends perform drag. Queer joy is watching all my friends and trans children live through adulthood. Queer joy is hearing my cis and straight friends and neighbors turn out against anti-trans bills and in support of this bill. I would love to see this pass and have Alaskans show the country that we are stronger when we all have our rights. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Michael Garvey. If you want to state your name for the record and any affiliation you may have, please proceed.
Thank you, Chairman Clinton, Vice Chair Snyder, and members of the House Judiciary Committee. For the record, my name is Michael Garvey, and I'm calling from Anchorage representing the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska. I'm calling in support of House Bill 17, critical legislation needed to protect our LGBTQ neighbors from discrimination. Communities like Anchorage, Juneau, and Sitka have enacted local non-discrimination ordinances. LGBTQ people outside these jurisdictions who are equally deserving of lives free from discrimination, lack similar protections. House Bill 17 would be a substantial step forward to living up to the Alaskan values of fairness and freedom from discrimination. It is so important for the state to establish explicit statutory protections on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity or gender expression, both as a statement of values and to protect LGBTQ Alaskans from the tangible harms they face in their daily lives. House Bill 17 would establish these protections in the areas of housing, employment, banking, and public accommodations. These are areas where national surveys, surveys of Alaskans, and the expressed lived reality of LGBTQ Alaskans show that discrimination persists and creates real harm. For example, in a 2015 survey of transgender people in Alaska, significant percentages reported experiencing job denials or job loss, housing denials or evictions, denials of services from businesses open to the public, and being harassed, bullied, or assaulted, all because of their transgender status. The results of marginalizing LGBTQ people from society are immense and harmful. This kind of discrimination is antithetical to the fair and free place we all want Alaska to be. LGBTQ Alaskans want what anyone else does, a safe home, economic security, the ability to care for themselves and their families, to feel like a welcome part of their school, their neighborhood, their community. Enacting explicit protections.
Wherever you're at the 2-minute mark, if you want to conclude your remarks, that'd be great.
Yes, absolutely. We urge Alaska to join the numerous states and localities across the country who have banned discrimination in this way. Thank you to the committee for your attention to HB 17 today, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Julie Smith. Ms. Smith, if you want to identify yourself for the record, and please proceed.
Hi, my name is Julie Smith. I'm calling on behalf of myself from the Lower Tananaw-Dene Lands in Fairbanks, Alaska. I support HB 17. Here's why. I'm a Inupiaq. In my culture, there are zero pronouns, three genders. People are not assigned gender at birth, and various types of relationships have existed in our communities for time immemorial. My people are not alone in having people who identify as LGBTQ+ in American culture. I support a government that keeps the separation of church and state. There is no reason not to pass this bill that is not related to religion, which does not belong here. I am currently a client of IAC, where I have been assured time and again that gender has never stopped a person from receiving help, from cis men, which means men who were assigned men at birth, to trans women. I've also worked at jobs where I've noticed that managers were hiding identities for trans community because they knew if the higher-ups found out, the individuals would be fired. I know individuals who were passed over for promotion because they were too vocal about being part of the LGBTQ+ community. It is common for people in the LGBTQ+ community to have to do extra work to find employers and landlords who won't discriminate or need emergency help when they are fired or houseless with very little time to prepare to find another place to live. This bill supports Indigenous communities across Alaska. I support HB 17, and I hope you do too. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Michelle Gavel. Ms. Gavel, if you want to state your name for the record, and please proceed with your testimony.
Hi. Yes, good afternoon. My name is Michelle Gavel. I'm from Fairbanks, or I live in Fairbanks. I'm calling to support HB 17. You know, speaking as a person who loves and supports my friends and family members that are part of the LGBTQ community, I am so excited to see legislation like this in Alaska. I moved here from a state that was pretty unfriendly to the LGBTQ community, and I have seen and experienced both joy and harm as a result of legislation and discrimination of that nature. So I hope to see this bill progress. I hope it doesn't stall in committee. I thank the sponsors. I would also like to point out that this is simply the right thing to do. The people that call in who are speaking about this from a religious perspective should be reminded of love thy neighbor. And the people who are calling in about being educators, coming from a educational background myself, I 100% agree that the more we support youth to develop the way that they are supposed to develop, the way that they are feeling is most right to develop, both with their sexual orientation and their gender, the better they flourish and grow up into adults that, you know, provide benefit to society. Anyway, thank you so much for your time today, and have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Phil Moser. Moser, Mr. Moser, identify yourself for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Philip Moser. I live in Juneau, Alaska, in the Mendenhall Valley, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself. I'm calling in support of HB 17. HB 17 is needed. The people that this bill would protect and grant equal rights to are part of our community. They are neighbors, they are friends, they are family. To deny this bill would be to deny that they are part of our communities, and that they are people deserving of the same rights as everyone else. In Alaska, we haven't been immune to issues affecting LGBTQ people. In the 1950s and onward, the Lavender Scare was part of an anti-communist effort that conflated communism and LGBTQ communities and sought to single them out as threats to the community, and in some cases, including here in Juneau, law enforcement was involved in giving them blue tickets and saying that effectively they were under the same rules as sundown towns. We've come a long way past that, but there's imminent threats both here in Alaska and in the lower 48 to criminalize the existence of our neighbors. HB 17 is needed to stop that. I would like to remind the committee, and I know this was brought up a lot in arguments, but when the Nazis rose to power, the first books that they banned were by a doctor that was advancing and providing gender-affirming care to trans people. We need to do better. We can do better, and we can't deny that kind of past that we have to act against. We have to move forward from.
Mr. Moser, you're at the two-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that would be great.
Okay. Thank you. I'm finished.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Mary Elizabeth Kerhan-Stark. Ms. Kerhan-Stark, if you want to identify yourself for the record, please proceed.
All right. My name is Mary Kerhan Stark. I live on the unceded lands of the Lower Tanana peoples in the Gold Stream Valley, Fairbanks, Alaska. I'd like to thank this committee for letting me speak with you at this time. I urge you to support HB 17 that calls for statewide LGBTQ plus non-discrimination. Each of us as Americans are free to build loving adult relationships and to create families without issues of discrimination. In addition, we are allowed to work and participate in our economy as we choose. Unfortunately, because of antiquated stereotypes of gender, everyday Alaskans are shunned of housing, public services, etc., because they just happen to be different from your personal lifestyle. What HB 17 does is codify the practice of the Alaska Human Rights Commission in the wake of the Bostick U.S. Supreme Court decision. Due to the ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court in 2020, the Alaska Human Rights Commission included sexual orientation and gender identity under the definition of sex. Alaska, we need to move forward. Countries throughout the world contain a broad equality clause, specifically supporting and acknowledging different races of people, ethnic origin, sexual orientation, religion, and other group orientations. As a citizen of Alaska, I wholeheartedly support HB 17. Our state needs to move forward with the rest of the world. Thank you for your time. Mary Kerhan Stark, Fairbanks, Alaska.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Lynn Davis. If you want to identify yourself for the record, you can proceed with the question.
Hi there. This is Lynn Davis. I'm a 30-year Juneau resident, and thank you all for listening to us. I have worked for LGBTQ human rights for 30 years and or for actually since the 70s. And I think I've been testifying for this bill in favor of it for 10 years or more. So I am thrilled today that this is that we're all really hearing some profound reasons to vote yes and move this one on. I have been sorting my saved articles and photos showing the perilous Alaskan LGBTQ journey, and now I'm preparing to donate them to museums so people can see what this trail has been like. It's really very shocking, and hostile groups keep dreaming up, you know, amazing arguments to discourage us. I was so heartened last Saturday, the 4 hours of really profound testimony, people from all over Alaska sharing why Senate Bill 140 will be so harmful. And that is a perfect example of why we need HB 117. And I wanted to remind all of us of a very sad and recent discrimination where same-sex military families for 5 years were denied PFDs. And the state did this, and I am a retired state worker, and I'm proud of that. But it's unbelievable to me that they were not allowed to file for their PFDs in an outdated, unenforceable
You're at the two-minute mark. If you want to conclude your remarks, that would be great.
Sure. Thank you, everyone. And please move it on. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Alyssa Quintine. Ms. Quintine, if you want to identify yourself for the record, you can proceed.
I do. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. My name is Alyssa Quintine. I am from the Chino Dene Lands here in Fairbanks. And unlike many of my queer peers, I will be using my straight privilege here as an uncheerful Alaskan who supports this bill, and let me tell you why. This legislature has been a legislature for 64 years. This means that literally every year, every session, this legislature has failed to protect its LGBTQ constituents. I have told the Senate Education Committee, the Senate Labor Committee, and just this morning, the House Education Committee. The core purpose of this legislature is to ensure that its constituents have the access to the resources, services, and opportunities they need to survive. You have already heard and you have heard for decades, 6 decades, you represented it. But LGBTQ people cannot. They are literally being fired. They are being attacked. They're being evicted. They can't go to the emergency room. They can't get the medication they need. They can't get to the classes simply because the person on the other side of that table is not comfortable or the religion doesn't condone that person that they are serving. Why does this legislature continue to protect somebody's perspective, somebody's discernment on someone else's, you know, existence instead of that person's existence themselves? I don't get it. When is this legislature going to get it? Our anti-discrimination laws already suck as it is. It barely protects me as a black woman, barely protects indigenous people, doesn't see anything wrong with, well, we are not going to consult tribes. How are you not getting that this is a problem, that asking the question, should LGBTQ people be allowed to vote in Alaska is kind of a bad thing? Like, this is common sense, y'all. And if you want, and if you say that you're our representatives and that you want us to be protected, then do something. It's been 60 years, my lord.
Ms. Quinn, you're at the two-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that would be great.
My concluding mark is I really want you all to take away from this. Are you okay letting your constituents knowing that they can't survive in this state? If you are, then you can continue the 60-year trend. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Mike Coons. Mr. Coons, if you want to identify yourself for the record, you can please proceed.
Yeah, this is Mike Coons. Do you hear me well? I just got a new phone.
Hear you just fine.
Okay, cool. My name is Mike Coons, a man by birth and God from Palmer, and speaking for myself. I oppose HB 117 and I support SB 140. Article 1, Section 1 of the state constitution says, quote, "This constitution is dedicated that all persons have a natural right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness." Note that all persons is stated three times in this one section. Article 1, Section 3, "No person is denied the enjoyment of any civil or political right because of race, color, creed, sex, or national origin." HB 17, without two constitutional amendments, adds sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression. If the author of this bill would like to make a constitutional amendment to add sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression to Article 1, Section 1, and 3, that person is free to try. Let me be clear. All persons is just that. All persons. That includes all races. All men and women, which are the only biological sexes in existence in the human race, all creeds, and all national origins. As to sexual orientation, that is still a man or a woman. Gender identity is in the existence of the person's mind, period. They may believe that they are a woman or a man as they see fit. However, that makes no chromosomal or inherent physical changes. The Constitution fully protects the expression, quote unquote, expression of all persons. One may express that they are a woman while being a man all they want. However, and this is where this bill is trying to go, that expression gives one the right to go into a man or woman's bathroom, locker room, sauna, etc. Not no, but heck no. As to gender identification, that person, no matter the amount of hormonal replacement, surgical
alteration. You're at the 2-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that would be great.
There is no transition to becoming a woman or a man. That is settled science. If science can change that over the coming decades, if not centuries, then we can explore that at a later date.
Next in the queue have Jamie Yu. If you want to identify yourself for the record, and please proceed with your testimony.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jamie Yu. I'm coming from Anchorage, Alaska. Thank you to the House Judiciary Committee for allowing me to speak today in favor of HB 17. So I am a trans man. I'm a non-binary trans man. So that means that when people see me, they sometimes get a little bit confused because they make one assumption about me, and then I open my mouth and another assumption comes out, right? I've used both men's and women's bathrooms. Because, you know, growing up, being FTM, that's what I started out using. I started out using women's bathrooms. And then after a while, as I started transitioning, it made more sense, or I wanted to use men's bathrooms. And, like, no one's given me a problem about this, you know, because when I go into the bathroom to do my business, I'm going in there to do my business. But, you know, I won't address that right now. To linger on the idea of joy, it gave me queer joy to – I worked at a call center when I first started transitioning a couple of years ago. And when callers started calling me sir instead of ma'am, that gave me joy. I had tried so hard to get where I was to be able to be gendered correctly. What else gave me queer joy? When I was working at a kitchen and other people who weren't necessarily LGBT still supported and uplifted me when we would talk about guys or girls that we liked, they didn't give me any trouble for expressing my preferences because it wasn't any of their business. And what this bill is trying to do is actually mirroring a parallel, it's called the Equality Act, I think, that's going through the federal process right now that would be expanding and clarifying Title IX to include gender identity and sexual orientation. And I think that's great. You know, I just want to echo what everybody said so far, that this is progress, that this is very, very needed. It's serving an underserved and marginalized community. Please pass this bill. That's all I got to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, I have Maureen Longworth, or Dr. Longworth, if you want to identify yourself for the record, you can proceed.
Yes, thank you. This is Maureen Longworth. I'm a physician and lifetime member of the American Academy of Family Physicians, and I'm here in Juneau, where I've been an Alaskan physician of over 30 years. I direct the group, and I'm speaking for myself, but my opinions are very much influenced by my years of medical training and education, even back in the 80s, when we studied in medical school the ambiguity of gender, and as physicians had to advise both parents of newborn babies that had ambiguous gender and later adults with ambiguous gender how to proceed. During these last several, you know, decades of practicing medicine and continuing to study medicine, we're always studying medicine, there's been so much advancement in this arena. So referring to that, I am going to cite the American Medical Association, who now has page after page of evidence on their website of how discrimination and feelings of inequality contribute to the increased abuse, mental health, upset, drug abuse, and suicide in our not only LGBTQ children, teens, and adults, but even to the ones surrounding our entire community when there is discrimination present. What the American Medical Association support says that they support the equal rights, privileges, and freedom of all individuals and oppose discrimination based on sex, sexual orientation, gender identity.
Dr. Longworth, you're at the two-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that would be great.
Disability, ethnic origin, national origin, or age. So really all we're doing here is finally adding LGBTQ to the protected.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next in the queue, we have Katie Botts. Botts, please proceed.
Can you hear me?
Say again, it was kind of faint.
Can you hear me?
That's much better. Please proceed.
My name is Katie Boat. I'm from Juneau, Alaska, and I am against, I will repeat, I am strongly against HB15. And shame on you, shame on the committee for even being this bill, because it goes against everything that as the state of Alaska that we have stood for so many years. So many people, you have heard testimonies of people bringing up the Bible in the testimonies, and here I will say why. It's a belief system of the truth. We are born of a man and a woman, and we are designed to be born as a man and a woman. It's who we are fundamentally, and it's who we are supposed to be. We are not supposed to be a transgendered people, and it goes against the will of the higher being. God. Also, if you do pass this bill, Mr. Clayman, you're saying that it is okay for transgender people to go into the bathroom and to sexually abuse other people in the bathroom, in the locker rooms, in the saunas, anywhere where they can sexually abuse people, and we are the highest rate of sexual abuse, which you refuse to address. So I highly, highly, highly am against this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Dick Ferris. Mr. Ferris.
Hi, I'm Dick Ferris from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I strongly support HB 17. It's a positive piece of legislation, and anyone that discriminates or has discriminatory thoughts is negative and small thinking. Thank you for this opportunity, and bless you.
Thank you very much. The next person I have in the queue is Amy Russell. Ms. Russell, if you want to identify yourself for the record, you can proceed.
Yes, this is Amy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm Amy Russell from Fairbanks, Alaska, third generation, born and raised in Alaska. I'm a single mom, and I'm at work right now, so I rarely ever testify. And I'm doing it because it's very important. I am testifying in favor of HB 17, and I really feel that it is important that people who have a different sexual orientation than my own have the same civil rights and protections. We are a small state, and these are our neighbors, these are our friends, these are our, maybe our kids. You can hear how divisive society is, and it underscores the need for legislation to protect the civil rights, and people in this state deserve that. They deserve us taking care of each other like that. I just would really hate for transient politics to endanger those civil rights. I hope that you will support this bill, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, I've got Susan McGloin. Ms. McGloin, if you want to identify yourself for the record, you can proceed.
Hi, I'm Susan McGloin, and I'm calling on behalf of myself, and I'm from Anchorage. I've been in Alaska, though, 40 years. I've lived in different places in Alaska. I'm a nurse. I'm an RN. I came to Alaska when I graduated college and worked in Providence, Yamana, or Alaska Regional. I've worked at API. I want you to be aware of there is really a problem. I've seen it. I've taken care of people who are brutally attacked for their what they believe and what they, you know, their sexual choices. And I want to tell you, it's really important we protect the people of Alaska. We have the bases, military bases. We have a whole lot of people who come to Alaska, tourists, people for the first time, and there's a lot of people with different opinions, but there are people who discriminate to an extreme and do terrible, brutal things to people because of their choices as far as their sexual orientation. And I really support this bill because we really do need to protect people and their choices and not allow people to be harmed. As I have seen in the hospital, I've taken care of people. And API, I you wouldn't believe the people have tried to kill themselves because they were attacked brutally. And so I really tell you, this is an important issue, and this bill is really necessary to protect people. That's all. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Looking at the roster of those that have called in, I don't have anybody else has called in. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to provide public testimony on House Bill 17? Seeing no one in the room, I would note that there were two individuals that did call in, but they're now unavailable, so we can't hear them. Seeing no one else in the room and no one online, we're closing public testimony on House Bill 17. We will hold this bill for further review. Our second and final order of business today is confirmation hearing. The Speaker has referred the following governor's appointments to the House Judiciary Committee. State Commission for Human Rights. Members have received an application and resume for each appointee. The appointees are either online or in person and will testify. We'll open public testimony. And the first person we'll call is Mr. Henderson. Because you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone. Hang on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Hold on. Let me finish what Mr. Henderson, you're up. Please make sure you're not a speakerphone, as the sound quality is not as clear and is often difficult to hear what you're saying. And if you're online, I'll go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair, and the rest of the committee members. My name is Lonzo Henderson, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to appear before you today for confirmation to this board for the great state of Alaska. I'll begin with a little about myself. I've been a lifelong Alaskan for over 50 years, together with my belated wife, Betty, and our daughter, Sharpa. I appreciate walking to enjoy the remarkable Alaska nature views. I also enjoy tending to our vegetable garden. My late wife loved flowers and the vegetable garden, and it is a hobby I still enjoy in honor of her legacy. Before the pandemic, I was fond of traveling. My favorite trip was to attend the Hot Air Balloons Festival in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm a former Vietnam-era Army veteran, and I joined the Department of Corrections in the 1980s. I began my career as a probation parole officer and retired as a deputy director of the Division of Probation and Parole. In 2008, I was appointed as a member of the Alaska Board of Parole, and I was appointed as the parole board chair in 2011 until my tenure ended in 2019. I believe that all Alaskans have a right to be treated fairly, and I also have seen how bias can distort an infrastructure, cooperation, or business's standards, operations, policies, and procedures. Back to my experience, I've had many years' experience evaluating legal paperwork, making reasonable and just decisions in meetings and legal settings. Although the cases with this board are civil cases, I believe that my experience in corrections and education with a BA in sociology, with a BA in psychology, with a minor in sociology, and a master's of art in teaching will prove to be an asset to this board. And with that, I'm open to any questions about myself and my experience.
We do have, it looks like Representative Eastman has a question. Just one question I'd like to confirm. Are you currently on the board today or on the commission?
Oh, no.
Okay, so this is new appointment. Okay, Representative Eastman, question.
Thank you, through the chair. I saw in your resume that you're a certified ASIN instructor, and I was wondering if you could tell us a bit more about that.
Certified ASIN instructor?
Yeah, on your resume, I think it says ASAN.
I was a certified CAPSTON instructor.
And can you tell us what about that involves?
Oh, that is with probation parole officers. There was another tool for probation parole officers to have in when they go out into the field, and it's a pepper spray. And I was a certified instructor to travel around the state to travel to various probation offices and provide training for staff.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Henderson? I would also note that comments, we'll take that up after they've both testified. Thank you very much, Mr. Henderson. I don't see any other questions. The next person that is up is Ms. Marsh Prox. If you would please come forward. May Elaine Marsh Prox, if you want to identify yourself for the record, and I would note for the record before she starts that we were introduced on the floor today. She is the sister-in-law of Representative Mike Prox from North Pole, related by marriage, but not by blood.
That's right. My name is Mae Marsh. My legal name is Mae Marsh, but yes, I am married to one of the Prox boys. I came here today because I wanted to introduce myself and also because I wanted to ask for your support in my nomination to the State of Alaska Commission for Human Rights. I've lived in Alaska since 1990. Except for a two-year stint where I was overseas and on the East Coast. I'm a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, and my family is a blending of race, cultures, ethnicities, and also of abilities. As a young girl growing up in segregation, I struggled to reconcile the messages of my church, which said red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight, with my dad's racist attitude. And that contradiction put me on a journey as I watched the civil rights laws unfold in black and white on our TV and in our local community of Frederick, Maryland. I found solutions and I found solace in the civil rights laws. And eventually my appetite for justice evolved into my career and into my vocation. I am a retired civil rights practitioner. I worked for 20 years on Fort Wainwright. I started as an analyst, and then I moved into the field of equal employment opportunity. I was the EEO officer for Forts Wainwright, Richardson, and Greeley. My next assignment was in the Netherlands, where my EEO programs focused on conflict resolution within an international workforce. My 27-year career was crowned with service at the agency level when I took the reins as the Deputy Director of EEO for the Defense Contract Management Agency. From the East Coast, I came home to Alaska, and here I served as the Director of Diversity and Equal Opportunity at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I oversaw civil rights investigations and compliance. I believe I'm a perfect fit for ASHER because their goal of eliminating and preventing discrimination is a direct match with my skill set. My background as a boots-on-the-ground practitioner has given me knowledge of the civil rights laws and experience in applying them. In all of my positions, there was a vital civil rights compliance element, and I served as the advisor to top military and educational leaders. I'm skilled in complaints management, civil rights investigations, conflict resolution, mediation, facilitation, training, and I've done some case review work. I'm now retired, but just because I'm retired doesn't mean I'm resting. I still firmly believe in the principles of equality of opportunity, and I am a stickler for due process under the law. As a citizen, I enjoy the protections and the freedoms of living in this beautiful state. But citizenship requires responsibility and work. And I seek this appointment as my opportunity to pay back and to use my skills to ensure civil equality under the law is afforded to all of our citizens. And it is my hope that my pragmatic approach and my honor for the rule of law will allow me to serve my beloved state of Alaska, and I ask for your support in my nomination.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Ms. Marsh, Representative Eastman?
Thank you, and thank you very much for coming in person. It's always nice when that happens.
Yeah.
And thank you for your service in the military. I wanted to ask, since you have on here a reference in your resume to the Southern Poverty Law Center, I'm wondering what your affiliation with that organization is.
That was years ago. That was back in the 90s. They recognized the work that I was doing here in Alaska. I had a class that I taught. It was accredited through the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And it was called Race and Healing. And the whole goal was to how do we bring diverse people together? You know, how do we end these divisions? And so I was recognized for that work.
Thank you, Paula.
Representative Eastman.
And coming from a DOD background, as you have, I know there's, you know, all sorts of, shall we say, curtailments on, you know, what you can say and when, the Hatch Act and so forth. What are your expectations should you be selected to this position as far as, you know, any limitations on your ability to speak your mind on whatever opinions you might personally have?
Well, I never served in the military. I always was on the civilian side. And so limitations on the civilians is not nearly as strict as it is on the military. And I've really had no problem speaking my mind with commanders or with, you know, anyone else that had a question. So I don't see a problem with that as I go forward.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Marsh? Hearing and seeing none, I just want to thank you for taking the time to come here to town. It's not that often people come from out of town for their confirmation.
Well, I'm always curious, and I also want to thank you for what you do for our state. I appreciate it.
All right. And we will go to public testimony. Is there anyone in the room that would like to provide public testimony on the governor's appointments to the State Commission on Human Rights? Hearing and seeing no one and having no one online, I'm going to close public testimony. And we're going to get to now comments from members of the committee. And looks like first in the queue today is Representative Kirka. Any comments on? Nope. Representative Christ-Tompkins, any comments?
No, Mr. Chair.
Representative Snyder.
No, thank you.
Representative Drummond. Thank you. Representative Eastman.
Thank you. You know, as we go through this confirmation process for these and anyone else that is appointed to this position, I think I'm personally sensitive to how these applicants, you know, are going to be looking ahead to serving on the commission or if they're reappointed, you know, continue to serve on the commission. And I know there was a member serving on the commission last year that was, you know, effectively fired by the governor for speaking her mind on a topic. And I hope that we can encourage and promote an environment where appointees to this commission, you know, don't feel that, you know, just because something they might feel or believe or want to talk about, they aren't able to because the governor has a different opinion.
Thank you very much. I don't have any comments. I would note that if all the applicants that I think would have no hesitancy to speak her mind, Ms. Marsh is probably perfectly capable, and it sounds like she's done so before. Having completed our comments, Representative Snyder.
Yes, the Judiciary Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees and recommends that the following names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Lonzo Henderson and Mae Marsh Prox to the State Commission for Human Rights. Was it Mr. Henderson to the State Commission for Human Rights?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
The names will be forwarded to the joint session. Please be sure to stay behind to sign the confirmation committee report. We will now adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Wednesday, March 16 at 1 p.m., and we will stand adjourned. The time is now 2:36 p.m.